Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hello, 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 my friends. Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. That is me, and I am so excited today to have the really, you guys are going to dig this, interesting guest, Dr. Amber Wolf, and she is going to be talking to us about, well, she's worked with Lee Carroll, and so many of you loved the work that, the interview that we did with Cryon and Lee Carroll a few months back, and so Amber Wolf is has worked with him and traveled with him to help share the messages. And her focus is more on the women of Lemuria, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. So let me have y'all come on in, say hello. Welcome, welcome. Good to see you guys. Thanks for joining Off the Cuff. We have a beautiful interview today, so I'm very excited. I'm going to get started with Dr. Amber's bio. So let me introduce you first. Let's bring her on in. And hello, my friend.
Hey, hi, Sunny Dawn Johnston. How are you, honey?
I'm very good. Thank you. So glad to be here with you. We were just talking, my friends. So we've got people from all over the world. And
I love that.
We're both in Arizona, so we're both warm.
Yeah.
We're both warm and we're enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So I want to introduce you and just share your bio first, Amber, in case some people don't know about you and know the work that you're doing, because it's pretty fascinating.
Okay.
All right, guys, let's share this with you. So Amber Wolf, PhD, is an internationally known teacher, facilitator, author, recording artist, healing intuitive, and channel of the Palladian Star Mothers. She is an international Cryon team member and presenting partner of Lee Carroll, a Cryon Discovery Series producer and facilitator, and the creator of Lemurian Sisterhood, seminars, worldwide sacred circles, Lemurian Shamanism School, and Shamanic Teaching Wheel. She has been committed to healing, growth, spiritual transformation, and holistic healthcare and education since 1982. My mission and my passion are to guide the women of the world towards their unlimited potential. From there, greater harmony and balance on the planet is possible. Mm. I love that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sunny Dawn, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I am too. So we have an audience, and I'm sure that some of them are so familiar with your work, but I think that how did this all start for you? Let's start there.
How did this all start?
You know, it's not like the average everyday little girl grows up and says, this is what I'm going to teach, right? Like,
absolutely the opposite.
Right,
absolutely
right.
The opposite. And I, you know, have a very conventional upbringing in very small town New England, small thinking New England.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But as soon as I could, I was like on a satellite out of there.
Yeah.
And I really used my life to explore and discover and have different kind of experiences. And I was always looking for something spiritually different than the church that I was raised in. Mm-hmm. I knew there had to be more, and I didn't know what it was. So I would say that I have been a seeker since I probably was 22.
Wow.
And yeah, and I moved to the wilderness in Alaska then.
Oh, wow. That's quite a move.
with a guy, and we lived 12 miles by river from the nearest town, which was 400 miles by road from Fairbanks. So really, really far out there. But it was there that I connected with spirit through nature, and I saw a much bigger picture of what spirit is in animals and plants and us and Gaia. Mm-hmm. And I thank that experience, that part of my life, that part of my karma, almost every day, because it was really a very unique and formative experience for me.
Yeah.
And from there, I lived in an ashram for many years. I became a mom, which in itself is a spiritual experience.
It sure is.
And I'm still a mom. Mm-hmm. And I ended up in Colorado for a life restart when I turned 40. And I was single for 11 years until I met a man who was named Sid Wolf, who introduced me to Lee Carroll. And I had been reading the Kryon books, but we're talking about 1987, 86 in there, because the first books came out there. And they were nice, and I got a good vibe from them, especially the part about throw away your karma and, you know, let's just do what you do now is what you experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Kryon was the first being or person or entity or angel to ever hear that the humans were honored by those that are not here, but by the beings on the other side of the veil. Mm-hmm. And to be that just lit me up. And so, you know, in those days, no internet. Lee was not doing in the early days any kind of classes. It never occurred to me to travel to him or anything. Just kept reading the books. And when I met Sid, he moved to Colorado from San Diego and already knew Lee.
Mm.
And Sid moved to the same street as I did, out of town. It was still a little dirt road then, he and his family. And I didn't meet him, but he was right there, like a block away.
Wow.
And about a year later, I met him. And it was one of those things like Hollywood meetings, like fireworks. And
yeah. You know,
my stomach just dropped out and all of that. And it became the love of my, he became the love of my life and the way that my life transformed through meeting Lee.
Sure.
And the first time I went to an event with Sid in Santa Fe to meet Lee, he was the nicest guy, is still the nicest guy.
He is.
And funny, mm-hmm. and just kind and generous, and he still is. He's all of those things. And I just count my lucky stars that all of that happened. And I became a producer for Lee's events in Colorado. And then we did some other events, and I hosted him once a year in Boulder. This 2021, January 2021, is the first time I won't be hosting him in Boulder in 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like an annual event you did every
year. It's an annual event. Mm-hmm. And from that, I started hosting, producing these four-day events that we did, the Journey Home and the Discovery. And then in 2010, he asked me to go on the road with him. And that was really the big awakening of my Akash and all of the stuff that's been with me for so many lives that was ready to come forward.
Sure. Well, and he knew, obviously, with the invitation, right?
Yeah. And somebody knew something that I didn't know.
Right. Right. And so when you went on the road, then you started channeling as well. At that time?
Well, what happened, the sequence, and I'll go through it really quickly, is that in 2010, we did about six or seven different weekend events. Plus, mm-hmm. I was still seeing patients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a plate full of a very full practice, plus adding those weekends and traveling. And then he asked He had asked us already to go to South America to do some of these workshops. So Sid and I did that. So that added even more. But in 2010, those weekends, he would have Dr. Todd Ovakaitis. He would have Robert Coxon, the pianist, and he would be there, and I would be there, and all of that energy was was really just kind of it was sort of like a gentle hammer taking away the shell of you know, the stuff that it was time for to go through. In 2011, we did I think 15 weekends, and in August, we did the end of July and August, we did five back to back, which meant I flew out on Friday. We worked Saturday, Sunday. I saw patients wherever we were on Monday. I flew home on Tuesday. I was home Wednesday and Thursday, and goodbye again on Friday. So, and then still being in that energy, present to those live channels, those live cryon channels, all weekend.
Right.
Now, if you've ever been present to that, even online, or if you are in person, there's an energy there. It's not just the words. There's an energy that, I mean, there have been times where it's gone through me sort of like a bolt of light, and I could just feel a chill all the way through my body. So we had all those weekends, and I was exhausted, and I think Spirit knew that I had no resistance left. And I went to see a healer person that I've been seeing for 17 years. And she said to me, you know, you're wanting past life regression today, not anything else. And I said, what? I don't even like that. But I said, all right, whatever. Just, you know, like hold my head or something. And she did a really simple past life regression. And at one point I had my eyes closed, but I was rolling them inside. It was like, oh, brother. But God bless her. Goddess bless her. Because she took me into a cave, and I call it my cave of creation, where I was, later I knew that I was in a lava tube in Hawaii, Lemuria. And the whole sequence of events in there were things to heal me and awaken my Akashic memory to my lifetime in Lemuria. And when I told Lee the story of what happened, he said, I want you to do a workshop for women or a meeting when we're in Argentina on 11-11-11. So I said, okay, sure. I'll do a workshop for something I have no idea about in a language that I don't speak. No problem.
Yeah, throw you right into the fire, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And I had been to Argentina, but, you know, the interesting little wink from Spirit was the Akashic Awakening happened on 9-9-11. I told Lee about it when we were in Florida doing the Discovery Workshop. And it just happened to be on 10-10-11. And then he said, do this meeting on 11-11-11. And so you can't plan that stuff.
No, you sure can't.
You know that Spirit has a plan. So that was, I knew in my soul, is what I called it at the time, that I wanted to have meetings for women. And I did before I was doing anything with Lee. But it would be like once a year, my patients and my friends, and we do some yoga and meditation, have a potluck. But it never became more until it did. And so in so that was the end of 2011. The beginning of 2012, I really started to have meetings every weekend, every Saturday night, and Lee would come and channel for those meetings. No, wait, not 2012. So 2012, then we had Hawaii. We had 12-21-2012, where I had a huge gathering outside. It was a beautiful, beautiful night. And I really felt like that was the opening of, you know, the door to something bigger. Still didn't know what. And then, so that was December. And then January would be our annual meeting with Lee. And 3 days before the annual meeting, Sid passed away very suddenly. And Lee came, we did the whole thing anyway, because my whole family was there. That's my family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my son was there, and all of my friends from all over the country, all over the world were there. So it really gave me an opportunity to have a little public grief, but public celebration of the life of this amazing man and how it affected my life.
Sure.
And so that whole year, you know, I kind of walked through my grief thing. And then the following year in Boulder, at the meeting of the Lemurian Sisterhood, Lee asked me, did I want Cryon to channel before the meeting? He said, it's been, you know, it's time. Cryon's telling me it's time. And of course I said, yes.
Of course.
So that was the first and didn't get recorded channel that Cryon did to the Lemurian Sisterhood. And it just kind of knocked my socks off. And so he recorded them after that.
Yeah.
And in 2016, we had, you know, all these channels. We had lots of channels, over 50 channels from those years, and 14, 15. So in 3 years, I thought, I need to write a book about this. And so I came from Colorado to Arizona in November, and I stayed in a little place in the cabin in the woods, my favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I brought my printer and a couple computers and all of this paper printouts of the channels. Well, the week went by and nothing. And then I was in the second week, because I only had a month to really get a start on this book, and nothing. And I was kind of freaking out. And I had a session, a heart math coaching session, with my friend and my now teaching partner, Shamir Ladani. And what came from that was that Spirit had a different plan. I mean, if you're that blocked and it's not resistant, I was totally willing and feeling like pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I got out of my own way. You know, here I am in this beautiful place. There's elk in the yard. I'm going hiking every day. But when it comes to this book, nothing.
Yeah.
So what I started to do was just talk to the Star Mothers and let them talk to me and say, look, I'm here. What do you want from me? And what they wanted from me was a manual that would be the directive for the worldwide sacred circles of the Lemurian Sisterhood. Because we'd been going all these places and having all these meetings, but we wouldn't come back for 2 years.
Sure.
And the women would say, well, what do we do now? You know, it's like you're gone for 2 years. And
Right. You
know, Zoom wasn't happening. You know, Skype a little bit, but it wasn't what it is now, certainly. So I thought, well, okay, what? And then a woman came up to me and said, you know, I would do this in my area. And that was the aha moment, is that I needed people.
Creating the circles.
A community of women to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what has happened. I have a community of women all over the world who are amazing women in their own rights. And some of them have never had a meeting, never got on Skype or Zoom or done anything digital, not even a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And some of them were, you know, had meetings, but in person, and, you know, they advertised it by word of mouth and things like that. So these women have come along in this, you know, this event that started in really at the beginning of 2017. So now we're going into the fourth year of it. And if I start in Europe, I have a host in Italy for the whole of Italy. And then there's one in the UK in Glastonbury. Then all across the US, Canada, there's a concentration of them at the Energy Center near Ottawa.
Mm.
In Ontario. Yeah, there are four or five of them there.
Wow.
Then Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
All across the U.S., top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Australia, and we have hosts there. And then also in Taiwan.
Mm. So
there are two young girls there that are in their 20s, and they're doing it together. They started a Cryon meetup group there.
Wow.
And they've just, they're amazing. They've had these huge circles and done these beautiful things. They get up at 2 a.m. to come to our monthly host meeting.
That's amazing. The dedication.
They really are. All these women are dedicated to this. And what's the beautiful things that are happening is the men in their lives, instead of going, oh, she's going to her woman's thing, you know, they've come along and they've said, how can I support you in this?
Sure.
You know, and they'll chop wood, carry water, you know, do the videos, whatever that mm-hmm. they can do that, to help create the sacred space for the women to have their circles in.
Sure.
That's what we used to do.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So Amber, if people are just joining and they don't even know what Lemuria is.
Yeah.
Or what Cryon is.
Yeah.
Because even though we've interviewed Cryon and talked about that at different times, new people. So could you explain a little bit? Because I grew up in this. So I started having experiences and seeing things at 13. So I was familiar with Cryon at that age and learning about all that. But a lot of people don't. So maybe you could just give a little background for those that are like, okay, wait, this is cool, but what is it?
Yeah, it's like reading a book from the middle, right?
Right.
Yeah. So a Cryon is an angelic being. And there's a real big backstory that the book goes through, the Women of Lemuria. What ended up happening was Monica Marani, who is Lee's life partner.
Goodness. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's live. We're live.
Yeah. And she is the author of 4 books in her own right that are compilations of the channels plus Q&A and subject specific. There's one about the human soul, one about Gaia, and one about the human Akash. So
my phone is just freaking out.
She proposed to me to put this book together and add some other things. She and Lee had gone to Hawaii for Christmas vacation. And she said she just got the download that she was supposed to do it. And she said, and here's what I need from you. And here's what I'm going to do. And here's what Lee's going to do. And this is what we'll include. And she's an archivist. And she has a brain that can compartmentalize things and remember.
Mm.
She's just amazing. I've been in the middle, and Lee's been in the middle of a sentence and bring up an event or a channel or something, and we'll turn to Monica and say, Mon, was that, when was that? And she'll be typing or doing something, not really even listening, and look up and say, yeah, that was in October of 2017, and we were in, she's that good.
Uh-huh.
So the book came together that way. And what happened with that book is, and this is particularly good for people that don't know any of this and think that, you know, Pleiadians are aliens and Lemurians are from Atlantis and, you know, we misused our power and the whole thing blew up. Because mm-hmm.
What a lot of people hear and what a lot of people kind of understand, which is why I thought this is an interesting conversation and one that we need to shed more light on.
Well, that's a pretty standard Hollywood thing. Mm-hmm. And it's also a lot like the Christian view of the Garden of Eden and the knowledge of good and evil and the talking snake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you say Cryon is talking to me, and people think that's weird. Well, what about the talking snake?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't too weird, was it? So in this book, there is a history of how this spiritual intervention happened on our planet. specifically in Lemuria, which at the time was a small continent where the islands of Hawaii are now. And so what Kryon has told us, this is the history, and now the Star Mothers are filling it in, the Pleiadian Star Mothers, is that our planet was one of many in the galaxy and other galaxies that was ready for something called ascension status. And I know you've heard that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean it's the great rapture, that we're all going to float up and, you know, go live in heaven.
Right.
What it means is that we're ready to become the people we were born to be, spiritual humans, not dabblers, not agnostics or not atheists, but living, breathing spiritual beings, that spirit is in our DNA. And it's not a particular religion. It's not a dogma or a doctrine. It's spirituality. It's not religion. Mm-hmm. And so the Pleiadians, having already gone through that process on their planet, in their galaxy, solar system, were tasked to bring spirituality to humanity here on Earth. There were already people here. There were already humans who were, you know, they had fire and they could, you know, hunt and gather and, you know, fix broken bones. And they weren't just living on the fly and trying to survive. They were more evolved than that. Mm-hmm. And they chose Lemuria, Hawaii, that continent, out of 12 possible places on the planet where they went and checked. So those are called the nodes, N-O-D-E-S. Mm-hmm. And there's a great whole story in the book and also on Monica's website and Lee's website, kryon.com/N-O-D-E-S. And it talks about how these beings brought spiritual energy to our planet, mm-hmm. and how they interfaced and intermarried with us in one specific place. Mm-hmm. And they came 200,000 years before now to start this process. But for them, time, you know, they're timeless, ageless. They don't have that, you know, we're going to burn out in 60 or 70 or 80 years.
Right.
So they started there in Lemuria, in Hawaii. And they were there for all that time. They intermarried and created beings that were Pleiadian Lemurians. Mm-hmm. And they could look like us. Mm-hmm. They could look like us. And so the bigger sort of important piece of this is doing that, them coming, created the beginning of an Akash for us, A-K-A-S-H. Mm-hmm. And an Akash is like a repository. It's a place where Kryon says it's multidimensional and in the third dimension and the fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. And it is a place that we go to when we leave our body, when our body ceases to exist, dies. Mm-hmm. Our consciousness goes there, our soul, and there's a crystal in there, you could call it, where we leave off the memories and the lessons and the wisdom of this life.
Sure.
And then our soul, which then is pure consciousness, goes probably to a hospital to recover.
I call it a healing space because we don't have a name for it, but
yeah. And then when it's time for us to come back, when we forget what it was like here,
like child, yeah,
okay, I can do that. No mm-hmm. problem. That sounds easy. Sure. We go back through the cave of creation where our Akashic record crystal is, and we pick up anything that we might want for this lifetime. Now, if you're just on lifetime two, there may not be anything there. Mm-hmm. But when you're in, you know, lifetime 575, you know, there's a lot to choose from. So we get here into the parents and the place and the body and the race and the nationality, ethnicity, all of that. And we come to do our thing. Now, a lot of times when we're in pure consciousness, and this is my understanding, we are limitless. So in that little window between being limitless and being human, we may forget some of the things that we wanted when we were here. It's sort of like, you know, you make a shopping list, mm-hmm. and then you take it to the store or you leave it home like I do, and you come home and you're unpacking your groceries and I meant to buy butter. I didn't buy butter. Mm-hmm. So you maybe go back, maybe don't. We now know that we can in this body, and even without leaving it, dying, we can go back to that Akashic record crystal and bring into this life things that we would like now. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of wonderful to be able to do that, mm-hmm. and have access to that all the time or whenever we want to. It's the Star Mothers told me that it's like Alibaba's cave. It's filled with these amazing, wonderful experiences. And even though they may not have seemed wonderful at the time, that they brought wisdom to us. Sure. Mm-hmm. And they grew our consciousness if we were aware of that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. We're not here to, this is not a vacation life, right. ever. So, right. yeah.
Yeah, we didn't choose vacation when we came here. We chose to learn. We're like the A-plus students, right?
I have a hard time just taking a day off.
I know. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people are familiar with the term Akashic Records. And so that Akasha that you're talking about is kind of the holding space for those records.
Your Akashic Record crystal is what Kryon says, is that it lives in a crystal. And when that first came in a channel, gosh, I don't even know, probably 2014 or 13, I did a meditation to take people through that experience of going there and getting something they thought they were missing, or just seeing what was there and saying, you know, whatever you think I need, spirit, give it to me. And people said, do you have a recording of that? So no was the answer. And so I made a CD, and to this day, it's my most popular selling, now in digital download, of course.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because that gives us a real, it gives us certain steps and a definition to get from here to there without going in your head and saying, well, this is weird, or how could I do this? Mm-hmm. I just take you there and then mm-hmm. we come back.
Right.
Because there, it's valuable. It's like finding, you know, a suitcase of stuff you thought you lost, or, you know, a bag of old photos, and, you know, it brings back all those memories of the times when you took those pictures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you believe that this time that we're in right now, with all of the challenge and chaos and everything that's happening, do you believe that this is ushering in for us a new way of being, a more loving, more gentle, more kind way of being? What's your perspective on that?
Well, it's a mess, isn't it?
It sure is.
And it's really strange. It just is. And it's a mess, and it's strange because it's so different. Mm-hmm. But if we look past, you know, that,
right,
and we look at, you know, the length of, say, 100 years in just in our country, because that's the history that I know, mm-hmm. So much has happened. I mean, 100 years ago, women got the right to vote here.
Right.
Like, we were no longer babbling idiots who, you know, couldn't stand to listen to politics because we might get the vapors. Mm-hmm. Come on. So right. For me, this whole shift is tied in with the resurgence of the divine feminine and bringing the balance of that consciousness back to the planet. And we have to do it by going inside.
Right.
We haven't been able to do it by being outside. And we all do that. We all get busy and do things and go places. And we've all done it. And now we're not doing it. So, yeah, I believe that this is a part of that shift, that change, that awakening. And, you know, our parents thought it would be World War III. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about the world wars that have been 1 and 2, and even Korea and Vietnam, never happened in this country. Mm-hmm. With COVID, nothing is untouched anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So we have invaders from another country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are doing this together. And so what do we make of it? Do we make a stronger community? Even when we're told we can't go out or we can't touch each other or we can't eat together, we can't, and you know, the rules are changing all the time and everybody's off balance. What do we have to do? What do we have to do?
Yeah.
We have to go inside and we have to look to our communities to be what keeps us balanced. As this, you know, tsunami begins to become more of a wave.
Right, right.
And it's okay. Not going back to the way it was. I mean, we're clear on that, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I definitely think that the majority of people have stopped saying when it gets back to normal.
Yeah.
Because we're not going back and nothing ever is normal.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. Cryon has been talking about the new normal since 2013. Mm-hmm. And now you see it on the news, you know, little ticker tape that says, and the new normal today in Austin, Texas.
Right.
Yeah. So we knew.
Yeah.
We didn't know what, we knew something.
And so in that kind of going within and tuning into our spirit, what my guidance has been saying is to help support people in tapping into their own guidance, their own intuition, not focused on what's happening externally, but focusing on what's happening internally, and then be a support to those externally to help them find the way to go within as well. Is that
beautiful?
Because I think that's part of what I'm witnessing anyway. And it sounds like you as well, that it's just so much being focused on the outside and that's not where the change happens.
Exactly. And it's not comfortable and it's not fun, but if we go into a resistance, like when things get back to normal, it's so much worse. Mm-hmm. It's like if you've ever had like an injection in your arm and you tense your muscle.
Yeah.
Right. We really have to relax. And the other thing is, you know, speaking as a healthcare practitioner and not a channeler of the Pleiadian Star Mothers, our bodies are really going through a lot along with this because we are living in a constant adrenaline threat because we don't know and we don't know. And so we're kind of prepared and worried and paranoid and our stress levels are higher, which means our immune systems are lower. Mm-hmm. So all of the things that we need to do to take care of ourselves that we maybe did a little bit here and there, we need to really do that now.
Yeah.
And hopefully people have time to do that. And it doesn't cost any money. Mm-hmm. You don't need any, you know, fancy clothes. You may need another jacket if you're going to go walk outside, or you may, you know, whatever. But, you know, you can find now, and there's so many of us are giving our things for no charge, mm-hmm. because at this time, that's what a community does. We take right. care of each other.
Right.
And so there you can meditate, you can do yoga and Pilates and all kinds of consciousness raising. You mm-hmm. can, you know, watch a video and run on the treadmill or jump in place or, you know, take a book with you and listen to it. You know, I love my library app. I don't get any, I don't pay for any programs. I use the public library. And then yeah. once a year I make a donation to them because I appreciate that. So
sure.
There is unity in community, right?
Yes. And it's that kind of what it's coming back to. I mean, I remember last yeah. year, that was the guidance that I received when I was doing some year-end work with my community. And it said, this year, this 2020 is going to be about coming together. And it's so interesting because we've seen so much come apart.
Yeah.
In that falling apart, I think it's forcing people into the awareness of how much we need to come together.
Exactly. That's perfectly said. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. So your book, I want to just make sure everybody knows about your book. So it's called The Women of Lemuria, Ancient yeah. Wisdom for Modern Times.
Yeah.
And they can get it either on your website or on the Cryon website, it looks yeah. like.
Yeah. From the Cryon store or from Amazon also.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. And yeah. so Cryon, www.cryon.com. Is that where they go?
Cryon.com/store.
Store. Okay. /store. So if you guys want to learn more about, because I do think so much of the story is the Lemurians and the Palladians and, you know, this battle. And I think that there's a lot more to it that you've shared in yeah. The Women of Lemuria.
You know, one of the things that we as humans tend to do with things we don't understand, like beings from outer space, is we make them aliens and we make them weird or bad.
Right, or bad. Yeah.
It's just so interesting. Even when we make God, you know, it's an angry, vengeful guy, you know? Right. And so if we could step aside for a moment and think about, what if there is a consciousness that really wants to help us, mm-hmm. that is benevolent and that sees us, the humans, as pretty amazing for wanting to be here and go through all this stuff, life after life after life. And here is an opportunity with them mm-hmm. to have a higher consciousness that's spiritual and be able to live this life without the angst that we do when we live it just in our left brain, our humanity, and we're, you know, scared and worried and planning and looking over our shoulder proverbially or really.
Right.
So it's a beautiful way to see how we are supported and loved.
Yes.
By more than just what's here.
Yes. Yes. So our whole team, of support yeah. helpers that are vast.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much. So many people had such great insight and are very excited about learning more. Yeah. So again, The Women of Lemuria, go to cryon.com/store, or you can get it on Amazon. And then you can find Dr. Amber Wolf at AmberWolfPhD.com, right?
Yep. And I have a very active Facebook community, Lemurian Sisterhood Global Group, women from all over the world sharing their experiences, asking questions. It's a monitored community, so it's not about sales. It's about community.
Connection. I love that. Yeah. That's yeah. been my word for years, community. So I appreciate that. And I thank you yeah. so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure and my honor, Sunny. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydawnjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.